Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Blaze Church. Welcome to the 10 a.m. It is so good to see all of you this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Joe, and I'm one of the leaders here at Blaze Church, and I feel honored and privileged to be bringing you part three of our message series, Kingdom, where we're looking at some of these wisest guys who've made the dumbest decisions. And the whole goal of this series is not to just learn from their mistakes, but it's to pull out godly principles that we can apply in our lives to guard ourselves from making some of these dumb decisions. So let's jump right into it. Right now, me and my wife are in a parenting season of a toddler, a 4.5-year-old going on 13. And right now, we're in this kind of phase where we're constantly teaching. We're teaching them how to do things. They're acknowledging it, and they're kind of maybe demonstrating it, but then they do the opposite. It's kind of a little frustrating situation, and maybe you've seen this happen before as a parent of any age, or if you can't relate as a parent, maybe you've seen this before in the classroom, or maybe you've seen this before when you've trained someone at work, and it went in one ear and out the other. So for an example, recently I was cooking with my daughter Harper. She loves to watch me cook, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna be a good dad. I'm gonna use this as a teaching moment. I said, you know, you see this cheese grater here, Harper? This cheese grater is sharp on one side, and it's not sharp on the other side. So you probably shouldn't run your finger on the sharp side. You might get cut, and there might be some blood. Oh, okay, Daddy, great. 2 minutes later, she's ever so gently trying to touch her finger on the sharp side of the cheese grater. I looked, and I was like, was I speaking in another language just earlier? And it's frustrating, and maybe you can relate. Maybe you've had situations where you either told someone not to do something or they told you not to do something, but we did it anyway. You were told, you know, you probably shouldn't sign up for that credit card. It may lead to some pretty dumb decisions down the line, and yet the shopping spree occurred. Or someone came to you and they said, you probably shouldn't start a relationship with that person. But you said, no, I think I know best, and you did it, and unfortunately it resulted in hurt. Or maybe someone told you, you know, you can get really addicted to alcohol and drugs. You probably shouldn't even start down on that path, but you couldn't resist trying just once. And in these moments, it can be disappointing to yourself. It can be disappointing when you see others who go through these moments. But I was thinking when I was preparing for today's message, I wonder how much more disappointing it is for God when he sees this happen. Because we serve a God here that loves us unconditionally. He cares for us. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for you this very morning. And sometimes we can veer off that plan. And I know myself, I have approached situations full well knowing I probably shouldn't, but I did anyway. So maybe you've had some of these examples in your life. I probably shouldn't have watched that movie, but I did it anyway. I probably shouldn't have said those hurtful things, but I did it anyway. I probably shouldn't have gone to that party, but I did it anyway. I probably shouldn't have lied to my friend, to my significant other, but I still did it. And I found that when you look at these moments in your life or in others' lives, it's very tough sometimes to pinpoint where it all went wrong, where it all kind of took a downward spiral. And I think sometimes we need to take a step back, almost a zoomed out view, to really understand, oh, that's where it to turn. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. We are going to be looking at the life of King Solomon. And more than just learning from his mistakes and avoiding regret, what I want to really answer, what I think the bigger theme of King Solomon's life is this question that I think we can answer today, and I recommend you write it down in your notes. The question is, what is getting in the way of following God's way? Now, I want to let that sit want to let that settle, let that marinate for a second. And maybe, you know what, let's have everyone say it together. What is getting in the way of following God's way? So as Christ followers, we get some pretty clear direction and a depiction in Galatians of some of the things that can get in God's way. So if you turn your Bibles to Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And maybe there's some things on that list that you're thinking of that's maybe not in that passage, but you've seen get in the way from someone's relationship with God. But today's focus, what this entire message series focus is on, the one thing in that Galatians passage, idolatry. Idols. Now, I know what you might be thinking, Joe, the only idol in my life is American Idol. And thank you for reminding me. I have to catch up. Ryan Seacrest is he's a wonderful treasure. But I know idols are not used in your daily vocabulary. You don't go to someone and say, hey, I'm worshiping a couple idols this weekend. Why don't you come with me? But the word idol is to put it simply this way, which is the worship of other things. Things other than God. Or to be more blunt, it's when God becomes second. And I highly recommend, if you haven't, to watch the first message in this series that Pastor Keith taught, which is a real deep dive on idols and what that could look like in your life. But maybe you can think about some areas right now that could potentially be putting God second, that could potentially be putting God in the back seat. Maybe it's job, money, and success. Maybe it's the house, the kids, the iPhone, the unrelenting fire hose of media surrounding us. And some of these things that we put first, they can be very destructive. But then you got other things when you look at them in isolation, and they're not destructive in and of itself. But where it becomes that way is when they become first, when they make God the runner-up, the afterthought. So King Solomon, he had this impressive 40-year reign as the king of Israel. Yet the idol of comfort was his ultimate downfall. So you might be saying, comfort, Joe, comfort, that sounds like a nice thing. When I think of comfort, maybe you think of, I got money in the savings account. I've got secure relationships with my family and friends. I feel welcomed. I feel love from others around me. But the idol of comfort can tend to lead to complacency. And when you're in a state of complacency, that can tend to lead to fear of change, to fear of breaking your rhythms and your routine, ultimately to ensure that yourself is always satisfied. And I think some of us, if we're being honest this morning, we can think of maybe some of these comforts and routines that have seeped into our lives and haven't even realized it, that it could be becoming an idol. It could be taking the top spot, the priority. So the dictionary defines comfort as this: a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. So with that definition, what does the idol of comfort look like? The idol of comfort is the longing for pleasure. It is the longing for your satisfaction, the constant search to meet your needs with no stress or demand on your life. The problem with the idol of comfort is that it's such a moving target, and that if you don't realize it soon enough, you're constantly trying to attain it with temporary things around you. You're trying to be all consumed by it for something that can't be attained, when in fact the only thing that can be your true comforter this morning is a relationship with Jesus, who will never leave, who will always be there for you to turn to. But while Solomon and these kings let these idols lead to their ultimate downfall, I'm glad we don't have to live that way this morning. What we're going to learn today from looking at the life of Solomon, we're going to explore how we can take some godly principles and incorporate that in our daily lives. Use it to guard ourselves from letting idols take over. So let's talk about Solomon for a moment. King Solomon was the son of King David. And if you know anything about King David's life, that is some pretty big shoes to fill. King David, a man after God's own heart. But I think King Solomon overall was starting his reign with a bit of a head start, because King David himself had made some mistakes along his way. He has learned, he has been able to go through some of these things. And at the end of King David's life, on his deathbed, he gives Solomon this parting advice. So 1 Kings 2:3 says, and this is David talking to Solomon, "Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." So with that parting advice, King Solomon does just that. He takes heed to his father, earthly father David's advice, and he starts his reign on a really good foot. In fact, what happens is shortly after King Solomon starts as king, God comes to him in a dream and says, "Ask me anything and I will give it to you. Ask me anything that your heart may desire, Solomon, and I will give it to you." So with David's advice in the back of King Solomon's head to obey, to keep God at the center, to keep God's decrees, Solomon asks God for wisdom and discernment in ruling as a king of Israel. And God really liked this answer. 1 Kings 3:10 through 14 says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this and not for a long life, or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." And then the last verse, which is a reiteration of what David said to Solomon, "And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." And that last portion gets reiterated multiple times as you read on in 1 Kings, a reminder, a constant reminder to Solomon, keep God first. Don't make him become your second priority. Keep God at the center. But is Solomon going to listen? Well, after that encounter with God, the story just keeps on getting better. Solomon says, "I'm going to build God a temple." And now that may not seem like a big deal to you today, but you got to understand at the time, the Israelites were constantly building a tabernacle, tearing it down. Building a tabernacle for worship, tearing it down. Hey, Dream Team, does that sound familiar? We're in a season right now where we are in a portable location because we want to bring more people to know God. How many of you believe this morning that eventually we will have a permanent facility for Blaze Church? So it took Solomon 7 years to build this temple. And God was, again, pleased. Solomon was putting God at the center. He was putting God first in his life. He even built this temple before his lavish palace that he built for himself. And Solomon is imparting wisdom and administering justice really amazingly. It's almost like God gave him a Wikipedia for a brain. He is writing down things about nature and about other topics, and people are hanging on his every word in proverb. And I'll be honest, it's kind of like hashtag King Goals if he was on Instagram right now. So you may be asking, Joe, when do we get to the dumb part? Well, when it seemed like things were going amazing, they were happily ever after, you flip some more pages and you get to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 through 4 says this. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Wow, so two questions come to mind here. First, do you think Solomon had 700 wedding receptions? Because I imagine the cha-cha slide gets a little stale after, like, you know, number two, 300. But seriously, what went wrong here? Because it seemed like Solomon had the plan, the map. Keep God first, be obedient, keep his commands. He built the temple, he asked for wisdom and discernment. So what went wrong? And like I mentioned earlier, it's sometimes not very easy to see what went wrong unless you look back, unless you see the bigger zoomed out picture. So you know how in movies sometimes you're about three quarters of the way of watching a movie and then they flash back to a scene that you've never seen before, but now all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together and you have that aha moment? We're going to do the same. So let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 1, this is before Solomon even encounters God in the dream to ask for wisdom. He's just starting his reign. And 1 Kings 3:1 says this, Solomon made an alliance with the Pharaoh king of Egypt and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the walls around Jerusalem. Okay, Joe, so what? That passage seems pretty... I don't know. On the surface, it seems okay. I mean, and in fact, it was commonplace in the Middle East to make alliances between kings in different countries so you can have peace and not war. But that was the world's way of doing it. That wasn't God's view. That wasn't God's way of doing it. So King Solomon goes on to marry the king of Pharaoh of Egypt's daughter. And Egypt worshipped false gods. They did not worship the one and true God. But nothing actually initially went wrong. Like, King Solomon still went on to ask for wisdom and discernment. He still went on to build this amazing temple and impart all this amazing wisdom. So what happened here? Well, as the years went on, a little seed grew. You know, Solomon, the act of marrying one wife who served false gods just opened the door. It was comfortable and opened the door, and it let in false guards. And what happened here is that what started as a little tiny seed grew into a weed. And maybe you've seen that happen to someone before or yourself. You know, one tiny habit, one tiny comfort, one tiny routine transformed into a big problem. And as Christ followers, when we let these seeds and idols of comfort grow into tangled weeds, God takes a back seat. So it's kind of incredible to think about, but it has been 1 year since this nation locked down because of COVID-19. And when I look back, it's incredible to me how little idols of comfort seeped into my life and my routine. Because pre-COVID, I had things in order. I was up at 5 a.m. I had time set aside with the Lord. I had a good work ethic. I was trying to eat right. I was trying to do all that I can do. I was in the zone. But then a day came where I didn't have to do that. I could go to bed later. I can roll out of bed in sweatpants and jump on a laptop. I started to not really focus on what I was eating. I hung on every word of the media and government officials. I played way more video games than I like to admit here on stage. And maybe you can relate to this. When you look back at your time, maybe you had a similar thing happen to you, or maybe you didn't have the job to work remote, or you lost it, and that put you in an entire different pathway. But when I look back at it, I had to realize that there were certain aspects in my life where God was starting to become second. And it started out as a tiny little seed in my life. that grew into a weed. And what I want you to know is that idols can come in many forms. And you know, maybe this has happened to you. You know, a few drunken nights turns into an alcohol addiction, and now someone can only find their comfort through substance abuse. Or a couple of nudity-filled television shows has led into the comfort of pornography use or adultery. Or maybe a few more hours of scrolling on your phone, seeking advice from your device instead of your divine savior, just looking for acknowledgement and comfort. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So what is this saying? The enemy is just dropping seeds. It's just hoping that one of these tiny seeds actually sticks, hoping that they can drive just a tiny wedge in with your relationship with God until this becomes a wide gap and an even larger idol. And over time, Solomon sought this comfort more than seeking God. He satisfied his every fleshly desire with wealth and woman and temporary things here on earth. He had no enemies. He grew comfortable, and he lost his sight on the true center of his life. Solomon actually acknowledges this in his memoirs in Ecclesiastes. He goes on to write in Ecclesiastes 2, 9 through 11, "I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and all this my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil." And the reward he's speaking of is these temporary things that he couldn't fulfill. He goes on to the next verse and says, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." See, Solomon tried to replace the giver of gifts with the gifts themselves. And maybe you can think of some gifts in your life right now and are saying, is that first? Is that taking precedence over my relationship with God? And the problem with the idol of comfort is that it's filled or satisfied with these temporary pleasures that we have. It always needs more. It always needs to be tamed. It literally is requiring your entire focus on it. But it can only be fulfilled with our relationship with Jesus, who is going to comfort us no matter what. So you may be asking, okay, Joe, how though? How do we guard our hearts from this? How do we guard ourselves from taking the turn that Solomon took? And I wanted to kind of boil it down to two steps, something that's memorable, something that you could say throughout the week. And those two steps are return and renew. Actually, I'm just going to have everyone say that together. Return and renew. So what does return look like? So returning is the act of repentance. It's identifying areas in your life where you've let comfort idols in or idols in your life that has been turning us away from God. It is turning away from those and turning to God. And maybe you've never heard of that word before. Maybe it has sounded icky to you in the past, but it really is just doing a complete pivot. You were facing this way. Those were your idols. You are now facing this way and turning towards Jesus. Solomon was given what the world would say is everything you need. He had all of the wealth. He had incredible discernment and judgment. But even with that, he let the idol of comfort cloud his relationship with God, his true security blanket. So having daily identification of what may need repentance is critical to keeping your focus on Jesus. And this morning, we're given this incredible grace by God that nothing in your past or in my past is too bad for him. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but you haven't seen what I did. But God is standing there, open arms. He demonstrated an ultimate act of grace by sending his son Jesus onto this earth so that he could die in place for us, for our sins, so that we have access to God always. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God was thinking about you before the beginning of time. He has a plan for you, even though you may not see it right now. And it's never too late to return. It is never too late to return to the loving arms of the Father. He does not want you to carry this burden alone. He does not want you to have to go through this in isolation. Let Jesus become your replacement for the idols of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. The comfort idol for Solomon demanded his life. It demanded his every waking moment. It maybe perhaps you can relate. Maybe you're living for the idol of comfort for money and your job is overworking you. You're stressed and it is perhaps the demand on your life, the number one priority. Or maybe you're in need of comfort from an abusive past or abusive relationship and you're looking to numb it with distractions or addiction. These temporary idols, they can't ever fully satisfy. They cannot fully satisfy only what God can satisfy. So how do we receive that? We've identified maybe some comfort idols. We have returned to God by repentance. So now what? And that's where the second part comes, which is renew. You know, when our church did 21 days of prayer and fasting January of this year, I felt so renewed and refreshed. It was just an incredible time to unplug from things, whether you were fasting from food or from things like social media. It was just an incredible time for me to spend time with God as much as I can one-on-one. And in those 21 days, it was an incredible moment for me. But imagine more than just 21 days, because it is possible. It is possible to feel renewed by God daily. So as we return to God, we renew ourselves by prayer, asking for God's help, speaking God's word out on your life. King David actually asked in Psalms 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You renew yourself also by staying in God's word daily, by reading his words and understanding that he is your only true comforter. I want to have everyone ask themselves these questions this week as just kind of a practical takeaway as you go on with your week. The questions are, when do I intentionally meet with God? Do I have time currently set aside? Can I make time? Can I figure out a way to carve out time to make this a priority? Because conforming to the patterns of this world is too easy. Our flesh desires it. It is for us to rest in him, to overcome these idols with something so much better, eternal life with Jesus. We were put first by God first, by his sending his son Jesus for us. We are loved, cared for, here on a purpose. You are not here by mistake this morning. You are chosen by God to know him. And Jesus was sent down for us, for each and every one of us. So, what little seeds of comfort have grown into weeds in your life? Write that down. Think about that. Really think about the past 6 months of your life. What has grown into a tangled weed that you need to return and renew? What has gotten in the way of following God's way this morning? I want to invite the band up as I conclude. We started out talking about how frustrating it is when our children don't heed our warnings, but my prayer this morning is that we do look at the life of Solomon, a man who had it all, who was gifted with wisdom, who was gifted with just incredible wealth and honor here on earth, yet he worshiped an idol of comfort. And this morning, I don't want us to look at the life of Solomon and use it as a scare tactic, as fear. Fear is a terrible motivator. But I want us to turn to Jesus. We don't need to act in fear. But the good things that we have in our life, I also want to just point out are not bad things. But as we learned here in week one, when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, that's when it becomes an idol. So what I want to do is I want to pray for us this morning that we can seek the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to show us in our hearts where there might be some idols. And then I want to thank God for Jesus, who is our Savior. So if you bow your heads as we pray, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to worship you with our music, our message, with our finances, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we know that we don't have to go into this alone. We don't have to worry about fulfilling a temporary idol of comfort because we know and we are secure in our relationship knowing that you will comfort us always. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice he made so that we don't have to be alone. Soften our hearts. Open our ears, Lord. Use your words this week to remove idols of comfort in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. There might be some of you this morning who hasn't surrendered, who hasn't said, God, I am unable to do this on my own. I am ready to be in relationship with you. I am ready to acknowledge you that you are my Savior, my true comforter, my provider. And I want to give those online and in this space an opportunity to accept Jesus into their hearts and just start the journey, an amazing faith journey in relationship with God. So I'm going to ask those to repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner who needs saving. I believe that Jesus died and rose again so that I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today I give you mine. Thank you for making me brand new. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate those who just gave their lives to Jesus? If you're in this space, we'd love to hand a resource to you. On your way out, head over to our Connect table. We'd like to give you a resource so that we can start this journey with you. I'm now going to ask everyone to stand up, put back your masks on, and we are going to worship God. We are going to celebrate how we build our life on Him.